We'll start at the book of Romans chapter 13, and we're going to look at verse 11 to 14, I'm sorry. And the title of the message this evening is, What Time Is It? What time is it? I was going to speak on heaven this evening, but it seemed like the Lord pulled me a different direction. While we'll reference things about heaven, not necessarily specifically going to look at heaven. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. We'll read it this time. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let's walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And that, knowing the time. The question is this evening, do you know the time we live in? We live in perilous times. And so as we look at this evening's message, I hope you know what time it is. Well, this word knowing has the idea of to have seen or perceived, have a knowledge of, to be aware of. So the word knowing, are you aware of? Now, I had to think about this when I thought about knowing the time. Often we talk about the time. Well, what time is it? Yeah, I might hear a little child that says, Dad, do you know, what time is it? Especially when you ever go traveling on vacation or going to a place of vacation, and it's like, well, how soon are we going to be there? What time is it? Well, it's still going to be another 2 hours. A little while later, 10 minutes later, are we almost there? And a little child doesn't know the time, and so they're asking mom and dad what time it is, and they're anxious, and they're looking forward. Maybe a young son that is going somewhere says, Dad, do you know what time it is? Time is important to us. We live our lives around time. Maybe my wife will say to me, Honey, are you aware of the time? Too often I hear them words. Are you aware of the time? Maybe I was not aware. I need to be reminded. Oh, okay, it's 10 minutes, we need to leave. You know what? Let's get going. I didn't know it was that late. Or maybe, yes, I'm aware, but I'm just running late. Just give me a little bit more time. I'll be ready soon. So the question could be, do you know what time it is? Or do you know what time it is? There's two different very ways to say that. Well, it is high time. Maybe we'd say it's high time to be leaving for church. We're kind of scrambling together, and the clock kept going, and it's like, well, it's high time to be leaving. If we don't get going, we're going to be late. Then you hear those statements like, well, we're always late, and hopefully they don't radiate in your family's homes. I love the verse in John chapter 7, verse 6. It says this, Your time is always ready. So Jesus was there saying his time has not come to be delivered up or something like that. And then he goes on to say, your time is always ready. You know, some of us are better time managers than others. It's a skill to be learned. And some of us have quite a bit to learn on that skill yet. Sometimes my wife says if it wasn't for the, and she says this kindly. She doesn't say it in a nagging way or anything. She says, if it weren't for the last 15 minutes, not much would get done around the home. And then I think about, you have two different type of people that deal with times. Some that like to go to the airports 3 to 4 hours early. And some of them that they hear over the intercom as they're running down the aisle, last call for gate whatever so-and-so. And hey, as long as you make it through that gate, that's all that really mattered. It, being there hours early didn't make any sense, but we have two different ways to look at time. High time is defined as a long-awaited event, an appropriate time. Do you know what time it is? And what are you doing about that time? See, there's many in our world that don't know what time it is. They're stumbling about. They're stumbling around and don't understand the urgency of the time. Maybe they knew the time at one point, but they forgot the time. And maybe life became so busy with things. And they were so busy with other things, they lost track of time. And so tonight, the question is, do you know what time it is? Or have you, like many in this world, lost track of it and got so busy? We have projects. Maybe when you have projects, sometimes you're busy about a project, and sometimes it can be when they're going well, and sometimes when they're totally not going well. And time just keeps getting away from you. And I think about that sometimes. I'm out and about with a job, and I get back maybe around 4:30 or 5 to the shop, and I have some office things, and I want to make sure I'm home by 6 o'clock. And there I am doing office work, and I look at the clock, and 6:01, oh my, quick, shut the computer off, and the 2-minute drive home. See, time got away from me. I was busy with this and that, this paperwork, that paperwork, and I was just trying to button things up. And the scheduled time of 6 o'clock came and went. And time just kept slipping away. I had to think about it. I'm keenly aware, knowing Dwayne and Donnie for years, back in our youth years. And it seems like some of the memories, while they fade away, I still remember some of the memories from yesteryear. It seemed but a short moment. But here we are, however, 20 some years later, or maybe, yeah, whatever it is, around 20 some, 18, 20 years later. And time, where did all the time go? What happened to the time? Sometimes it can be discouraging. You wish you could relive moments. I know I heard this thing about Elon Musk that he's coming out with. See, I myself have a little struggle with my memory. I can't remember like I wish I could. I heard he's coming out with this thing where you can download your memory. And I thought, well, now that sounds kind of exciting. Now, you can call me a little off the crazy end. I thought, then I won't ever forget anything. I could download it, and if I never need to pull it, I could upload it again. And this would be perfect, but I believe there's a reason we're made to forget. I don't think that probably would be a good thing for me. But that's the way I could relive time. I could be 41 years old, but I still could go back maybe to my 17, 18 year old. And boy, am I thankful I don't have to sometimes. But and relive these moments. But there is no turning time back. There's no going back and reliving the past. Sometimes we hear about the term, we're here just killing time. And I don't like that phrase. Because we're meant to do something with our time. We're meant to redeem. And that's what I like. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, it talks about redeeming the time. And so as Christians, as those that understand what time it is, we redeem the time for the Lord Jesus. And we live each day and each moment as if it was our last day. We believe in the imminent return of the Lord. I hope that we live our lives that way. Too often we get sidetracked and we turned about the things that are swirling around us, and we're not redeeming the time. What goes on in this verse to say is, now high time to wake out of sleep. Now, I don't know, especially when time change in the spring, not necessarily in the fall, but in the spring, or when we have a preaching assignment that are far away, maybe an hour and a half or 2 hours away, trying to get our children up from their sleep. Usually try to get them to bed earlier when we have situations like that. But when it's time to wake up and get breakfast and get dressed and we got to get on the road. And we hear comments, oh, I'm tired. You know, you ever hear them kind of comments? It takes effort. We don't feel like it. When it's in the middle of the night, it feels like the middle of the night too. And yet, it seems like maybe when there's a special trip you're going on, even if it's leaving early at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, somehow the I'm tired doesn't really come out. You ever notice that? When it's church, it seems comes out easier then. But says here, it's now high time to wake out of sleep. And so I hope I'm talking to a lot of people that are awake this evening and understand and realize the time, that aren't asleep. Now, I had this question. Do you know if you're sleeping when you're sleeping? Now, it's not some profound question. Maybe the lack thereof. Do you know if you're sleeping when you're sleeping? Do you know if you're asleep when you're sleeping? Well, no, you don't. And sometimes little children, they might say, I'm awake, but they're drifting back to sleep, and it's quite obvious they're really not with us. They're sleeping and falling asleep. And my wife gets to experience my driving sometimes when coming home from a late appointment, and maybe I didn't do caffeine or the caffeine isn't working well. And she'll hit me or touch gently, nudge me. Hey, are you awake? Yeah, I'm awake. Hey, are you, honey, I'm awake. I'm awake. You were going off on the rumble strip. You're going over the, no, I'm awake. I was watching, you know. And she's concerned about me. Well, and her too, she's in the vehicle. I remember one time we were coming back from Michigan, and I was the one driving. We had made a trip out a number of years ago. A relative had died, and we're coming back, and we're almost back to the Bethel exit on 78, and I guess my speeds kept going slower and slower, and it's my fault, or it's my tendency, I guess, when I'm a little less than alert, not sleeping, I don't sleep and drive. And I was coming up the ramp, and I almost stopped in the middle of the ramp coming off of 78, and, hey, are you... Yeah, I'm just trying to take it easy. It's like, no, you don't stop in the middle of the ramp. And see, there wasn't a reality to the fact that I was drifting asleep. And thankfully, I have not fallen asleep. I drive a little electric car. Not a Tesla. I'm not one of them kind of people. But and this thing has that lane help. And keeps you within the lane, and boy, that's a really benefit for me sometimes. It probably isn't good, but it keeping you in the lane is brakes for the car in front of you. Because sometimes when we're drowsy, we don't realize it, or we don't really realize the danger. We don't understand that we're at the point of twilight zone of falling asleep, and maybe others around us can see. When I think about spiritually, that's why I think it's so hugely important. This is just one point of having brotherhood around us, because they can see when we're starting to get drowsy. I'm not talking about Sunday morning service. Well, that could be accurate too, and a slight tap could help that situation. Spiritually, when things in our life, and we're getting distracted by the earthly things, the fleshly things around us, and just like the scripture says, it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. So we could be here this evening to experience salvation, but we could be getting to that point where we're not understanding, but we're slowly drifting off to sleep. What time is it? Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 24. I'd like to read some verses here. And this is some serious passage, the serious consequences. We're going to read verse 36 to 51 of Matthew 24. But that day and hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, there were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, who the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and to drink with the drunken, The Lord of the servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him and his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is a serious consequence to falling asleep. You know, if we fall asleep, even driving down the road, that could be serious consequences, but so much more in spiritual. Verse 42, watch therefore. Watch. Awake in the night. Keep awake. Be alert. Be vigilant. Spiritually, there's night all around us, but we can be awake spiritually and watching and be vigilant. See, back in Noah's time, people were just doing normal things. They're eating, drinking, they were getting married. They were doing fun and normal things. But what does it say? Here two people were working. One was watching, the other wasn't. The one was awake, the other was drifting off to sleep. In the book of Luke, it talks about two sleeping together. In a home, it could be two sisters that are sleeping together. One is awake and the other isn't. Maybe it's two brothers. One is awake, the other isn't. You know, it could even be a husband and wife. The one is awake and the other isn't. It's sobering when you think about that. It doesn't, just because the person beside you is awake, doesn't guarantee your awakeness. And so it is. We need to take responsibility for our lives. There's no father. There's no mother. There's no brother. There's no sister. There's no friend. There's no companion that can help us, or that can walk us into awakeness. It's a choice we need to make. Back in verse 27, it talks about like a flash of lightning. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Whether it's Christ coming again, or whether it's God snatching us up at the end of our last breath, it will happen quickly and suddenly. And there's not a time for preparation. There's not a time at that point to become alert. The time of opportunity is gone. I was back here a year or two ago, and we realized one morning some tools were missing off our work truck, sitting there at the shop. See, if I had just been thinking about that, I would have took a few extra precautions. Now, thankfully, it wasn't thousands and thousands of dollars, but it was enough to hurt. If I had been thinking about that, I may have locked the vehicles. I may have parked the vehicles at a different spot. But just like it talks about here in verse 43 and 44, just like a thief that comes, that's how they can do their work, because they come at a surprise, at a time when you're not expecting. So it is high time to wake out of your sleep. See, there's a time coming. In Revelation chapter 10, verse 6, it talks about a time coming when time is no more. It says this, and he swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein are, and the earth and the things therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, and there should be time no longer. There's a coming a time when time will cease to exist. And what we have done in this earth will determine our destiny. Chapter 22, verse 10 says this, "And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." And then verse 11, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give to every man according to the work. The work shall be." What time is it? The time is at hand. And when he comes, when he says time is no more, for whether it's when he comes back or whether he claims us individually and we go outside the perimeters of time, these words are sobering and final. "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still." And it can bring a certain amount of fear to our hearts. But if we went on to the last, "And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still." I would like to read two different things. I got up on Sunday morning, went to church at 10. I listened to the words I'd heard time and time again. The preacher spoke of simple lives. It seemed he spoke of mine. But I was young. I had plenty of time. I walked on down life's pathway, living as I wished to live. How to beat the other fellow, how to get what life could give. Making money isn't sinful. Having fun is not a crime. So I'll just wait. I got plenty of time. Plenty of time to decide where I'm bound, to eternal darkness or to heaven's grounds. I'm just a young girl, not yet in my prime, so I'll just wait. I've got plenty of time. Before I knew what happened, life seems had passed away, and millions stood before God's throne, for it was judgment day. Now eternal darkness beckons, and the name it calls is mine. Oh, but I thought I had plenty of time. Eternity waits. I've got plenty of time to think of all the days that Christ could have been mine. Now my chance is over. Earth's days have left behind. You and I have plenty of time now that I've got nothing but plenty of time. Oh, what a sad state to be in, where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'd like to read another little story I wrote, just fictional. It was a dark, rainy Sunday evening. Tom and his family were on their way home from the Sunday evening church service. The chatter of the children in the back of the van was subsiding as Tom held his wife's hand. Many thoughts were racing through Tom's mind as he reminisced over the words that were spoken earlier that evening. The preacher had talked about heaven, prepared for those who were ready and watching, a place where, and just like that, it happened so fast. As Tom rounded a turn on the main road, apparently there was a puddle on the roadway, which caused the van to hydroplane, sending it head-on into a truck coming the opposite direction. Crash! Tom didn't even know what happened. It seemed like he was hovering, looking down on his body. He could see his children. He could see his wife in their seats. What was happening? His wife seemed in pain, but she kept asking, "Tom, are you okay?" Tom wanted to answer, but he couldn't. Tears started coming to his wife's eyes in a gentle sobbing. But Tom couldn't do a thing. He wanted to put his arm around her, but couldn't. Suddenly there seemed to be this bright light coming toward him. This bright light pulled him in a direction upward. He was powerless as he sped toward the origin of the light. He soon found himself in a room that was all light. Right there in the middle of the room was a glistening throne. It was so glistening and bright that Tom had to squint his eyes. There on the throne was God. It had to be God. What else had just happened? Did I just die? Tom barely had time to think. His life flashed before his eyes. He started thinking about all the times he had messed up. The angry words he had just spoken to his oldest son earlier that day. The lost opportunity to care for his wife's heart the day before. She had things she was hoping to have done, but no, I was too busy at work and I had to prepare to preach a message the next day. Maybe later, I just have so many urgent things to do now. I said coldly as I could hear the pain in her voice as she said, "That's okay, maybe some other time." And I seen my little girl saying, "Daddy, will you play with me?" But no, I was too busy. Oh, if only I had. I also started seeing the sins of my youth. Oh, there were just so many, sin after sin after sin, as I peered into this so perfect place. There is no way I'm allowed to stay at this place. Everything was so pure, not one blemish, not one thing out of order, not one bit of darkness, not one imperfection. The closer and closer I got to the throne, then suddenly another shining being appeared, his eyes just beaming with love and kindness. This was Jesus. I could see the marks in his hands. This is what he looked like. But before I even had time to utter a word, he stepped between me and the throne, said, "Father, this is Tom. I died for him. I would like to present him perfect, without any faults. He is my son because he has applied the blood to his doorposts. Oh, I'm so delighted and so happy and so joyful to have him home. I waited so long to bring him here. I could hardly wait till his time was up on earth." And with that, he turned around and wiped the tears away that had been streaming down my face. "We'll not be needing them. These up here," he said as he took my hand. "Let me show you around the celestial city." I'd like to turn to Jude, the book of Jude. Second to last verse, verse 24 of the book of Jude. Well, we're going to start at verse 22. Verse 22, "And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire." I think of the fire, the flames of hell's flames, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And then the precious verse in verse 24, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." So when I start looking at this verse, it starts bringing goosebumps to me. When I start thinking about my Savior, my Redeemer, who is able to, first of all, keep us from falling, to keep us in holiness, and to present me and you faultless before the presence of his glory, and I'm going to say God's glory, with exceeding joy. And I can't imagine the joy that Jesus has when one of his saints come on home to present them faultless. But I know if you look at your life and my life, we've been marred by sin. We're not perfect. And while we try and obtain toward perfectness, heaven's a place of holiness. But he is there presenting us before the Father as faultless. The question this evening is, has that blood been applied to your heart? You know, we have two different scenarios. We have that or the verses we just looked at in Matthew chapter 24. "And shall cut him asunder and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." One instance to those that have made Jesus Christ their Savior, their Redeemer, their Lord. Those that have walked and says he's able to keep us from falling. I don't care how much goodness you have in and of yourself. You cannot make yourself faultless. But when you apply that blood and you strive to live in holiness, I look and long for that moment. I don't know what it's going to be like, because just like that little story I read, where an individual said there's no way he's going to... I would like to think it's going to be a little like that. And there Jesus is, coming, just like Jude says, presents us faultless. The choice is yours this evening. What time is it? Do you know what time it is? Are you willing and ready to make Jesus your Lord and Savior? Are you ready to put that blood, like we looked at Sunday school this morning, put that blood around the doorposts of your heart? Are you ready to start recognizing and realizing the time and walking in holiness? Or like the song or the poem I read there, or you keep saying, I'm just young, I got plenty of time. And so tonight, the question is for yours to answer, is for you to answer. There's coming a time where time will be no longer. We'll be outside the realms of time. The Bible says that he is as unjust will be unjust still. He that is filthy, that word filthy has kind of a cringing. Let him be filthy still. But he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. So this evening, I want to give another invitation. If there's someone here tonight that first of all has not ever applied that blood to the doorpost, or somebody that fell asleep, is falling asleep, and isn't watching and waiting for the Lord's return. They got cumbered with the things around them. The time of decision is this evening. Will you open your heart's door and let the Savior in? Let Lord Jesus in to your heart. Let him keep you from falling. Have him clean you up so you can walk in holiness. So you can be aware of the time we live in. What is the invitation hymn this evening?